Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Bridges to Business Radio.
Hello, it's Anne Ravel Petcher, your host for Bridges to Business Radio in Wilmington. I have a yummy guest across from me today. I'd like to welcome to the studio Matthew Schuler. Hey, Matthew.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
No better thing to do on a Friday afternoon than hang out with Nine Restaurant.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's
where
exactly
everyone should be.
Well, it's certainly where I am as of 5 o'clock every Friday afternoon. But it has little to do with the bakery, I can assure everyone out there in listening land. Nine Restaurant is a reasonably new restaurant here in downtown Wilmington. When did you open?
May 7th of last year.
The day before my birthday. Yeah. They opened up for my birthday present. That was really lovely. And this year they won Best New Restaurant.
Yeah. Thanks to the people of Wilmington, they came out and voted for us. And it was a real honor to have everyone in town voting for you and putting you into that category. And we were up against some very good restaurants.
Yeah, there's some great restaurants in this town.
Yes, there are.
It's one of the things that people don't realize when they think about coming to Wilmington. Obviously, we're a big tourist attraction. A lot of people come in here, but a lot of people move here. And one of the reasons people move here is for the quality of life and the restaurants that are unique to Wilmington, especially downtown.
Yeah.
We actually got Matthew from, now where'd you come here from?
The last place I was the Outer Banks, Corolla area in North Carolina.
Okay, so recent, how long ago? How long have you been here?
I moved here, this summer will be 3 years.
3 years ago. So. We are lucky to have you. Thank you for being here. And thanks for helping us take one of the greatest locations for a restaurant in all of downtown Wilmington and turning it into the next big thing. Tell us the story about getting Nine.
I was looking around town, downtown. I really wanted to do something down here. The people down here are fantastic. The other bar owners and shop owners down here really make you feel very comfortable and very at home. Hmm. And I was sort of giving up on it because there was only one spot for the idea that I had that I would do it in. And at the time, it was an art gallery.
Oh.
And I was actually talking to a real estate agent in Wrightsville Beach because I was looking at deciding to just go down to the beach and do something down there.
Sure.
And they put up in the sign in the window as I was walking by for lease. So I called the number right away.
Kismet.
Yeah, that was something.
Well, let's help the people who haven't yet been to Nine Restaurant and Bakery. Tell us a little bit about what you are. What is the concept?
Probably the most unique and unheard of type of thing possible. People looked at me like I was crazy when I decided I wanted to do it. But in the morning, we are a full bakery and breakfast and lunch restaurant. The full bakery is upstairs, and we do all of our breads, crackers, everything inside.
You haven't said the magic word yet.
Donuts.
Thank you. The magic breakfast food. Last week we had a nutritionist on. This week we have donuts.
That's right. The donuts are unique because they're made from potatoes. So they're not your yeast raised. They're not your Dunkin' Donuts. They're not your Krispy Kreme.
Interesting.
They're a cake-like donut, which makes them have a very unique flavor. It's much different than anything else. And then very talented group of guys that I have working up there, Gayton, Lowry, and Zach Duff, have just gone crazy. They're both very talented artists, and it comes through in their food. One of the more popular is the maple bacon,
which
has sort of taken over town by storm.
All my friends come down from Canada, and that's what they have to have.
We're getting ready to do a couple of specialty donuts for St. Patrick's Day. We'll have an Irish flag donut.
Nice.
We're doing specifically for Sláinte, the Irish pub. And then we're going to do a couple of Guinness mixed donuts.
Those are the ones we serve at 5.
Yeah. That and the we have a hot toddy donut, which is bourbon braised apple on a donut. So, yeah, we've gotten a little crazy with some of them. This summer, we had a Captain Crunch donut. Right now, we have an M&M donut. They did an Almond Joy. And they really go all out with their different creations.
Oh, that's a whole lot of fun. So what made you go to the donut?
I went to high school in Charlottesville, Virginia, and there was a great little shop there called Spud Nuts. And Spud Nuts was all potato donuts, but they were more on the plain side. They weren't the premiums like we use. Mm-hmm. And I was out west in Portland, Oregon. I came across a place called Voodoo Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And Voodoo had all these crazy flavors. So I wanted to do something that was sort of mixing the two together. And once again, Gaten, I gave him the recipes and gave him the idea, and he's taken it to a whole nother level.
Absolutely. You know, anybody who has not yet had a donut at 9, you have yet to be in Wilmington, as far as I'm concerned. This is part of the new tradition of the new Wilmington, right? Is the creative 9 donut. So you started, was the concept really to start as a bakery?
I wanted to do both. I wanted to do a restaurant and a bakery. And that was the hard part, was figuring out, because that is such a great old building. And it's where the old Cafe Phoenix was. And I had the prestige that it had had over so many years. I wanted to do something that would live up to that expectation. So when people, which we do have, we have people that come in, they were like, wait, isn't this Cafe Phoenix? Right. No, that's
not
gone.
At all.
And then they're pleasantly surprised about what they're getting from us. And we've had a couple of people say that it's great to see that it's still the same feel that it used to have. So.
Kind of the higher end and yet really accessible kind of feel to it.
Yeah. I knew with the donuts that could be my marketing. That'd be the way that I could get people hooked on what we were doing and then introduce them to other things. And I found a very young, talented chef by the name of Nick Votel and his sous chef, Ryan Ojampa. And those two guys have created some of the best dishes I've ever had.
Talk to us about what's on the menu. So let's give us, if you can actually take a step back and walk us through the day, because I have to admit, you have pretty odd hours for a restaurant. For a restaurant that serves breakfast that doesn't open until 9. Yeah. Everything about this restaurant's 9, by the way. So they open at 9. They have 9 donuts on the menu.
We opened at 7 when I first opened the business.
I used to go there at 7. And but I was the only one there.
You were the only one. You were the only one on the street, let alone in the restaurant. There's no one in this town open up that early. So, we looked at it from a strategic point of view and decided, okay, let's take on some of the lunch crowd and see how that works. And more people are definitely out in the afternoons.
But you have one of the great downtown breakfast places, I have to say.
Like I said, these two guys created some of the best breakfast menus I've ever had. I mean,
describe a dish.
Last week we had a mint chocolate chip pancake, and it's tough for me because I own the place, and I don't want to eat all of our own food. I mean, because I'm going to be 400 pounds by the time this is over. We sort of looked at the area, and we had a lot of people requesting vegetarian items, like I talked to you about earlier, and they created these eggplant meatballs, and we put them on a sub during the day, and then at night we have a specialty type of tapas dish with them, and people just jumped all over them, and we added some more this time with the in the morning we do a vegan tofu scramble, which has just taken a lot of people by storm, and then at night we'll do the portobello gorgonzola bruschetta, and it has a raspberry red wine reduction sauce on it, and it's phenomenal. It
raspberries
really is.
With cheese and mushrooms, interesting.
It's amazing.
So you give a lot of creative license to your kitchen.
I am not a chef. I am not a baker. And that was one of the things I talked to the guys about when we first started, was that I will not tell you what to cook, how to cook. I'm not going to micromanage either one of you, but I am going to look at the bottom line. I'm going to look and see where we're going to be.
So if nobody's eating this gorgonzola thing,
then we need
it's
to change
gone, baby.
Something. And we've had a couple items over the past couple menus that we've gotten rid of. And it's just, you know, first year trial and error, finding out what people want, what people are looking for.
Yeah.
And now we can start to build on having some staples, yet still moving the menu along with different ideas to see what else works.
From a lunch dinner perspective, what kinds of things might be your signature dishes? As you sort of, things are, you know, coming together and people keep asking for the same thing over and over again.
The one constant that I've heard for dinner as far as entrees would go would be the bone-in chicken with macaroni and cheese. Mm. And that's really good. I do eat that a lot.
That'd be hard to turn down, I think.
It's a really good dish. And then we've changed our steaks a couple of times. Uh-huh. We have a bacon wrap filet now.
Oh, nice.
But we always have a variation on the filet. Some of the other things.
I got to say, at lunch, there's one thing I keep ordering. Yeah, just don't tell the nutritionist. Nikki can't hear this one. The thing that I keep ordering is your BLT. It is the sloppiest BLT I've ever eaten in my life.
The avocado BLT?
The avocado BLT with an egg that just runs all over everything, but it's just so good. Yeah. I got to say, really good stuff and great salads. Amazing salads. You have a special, different salad every day, right?
Yeah, we try to mix it up. We have the nine salad and a couple others that we keep on the menu, but then we'll do a salad of the day, and we'll also do Ryan Ojampa does a great job with our soups. One of the biggest compliments I've heard is about our beef burgundy soup.
Mm-hmm.
And a good friend of my dad's came down. He was visiting on his way back home. And he actually had three bowls of it.
Oh, wow.
He ate one. And he was like, wow, this is really good. Let me get another. And got a third. So it was
for dessert, too.
Yeah. Good thing he was hungry.
And interesting coleslaw, too. I got to say, coleslaw is very cool. So anybody listening, if you go there, don't expect mayo and all those kinds. In fact, don't even expect cabbage.
Well, St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, okay.
Corned beef and cabbage is something that we're looking at doing for St. Patrick's Day.
All right. So... talk to me about what you've done with the, what have you done with the place? Because it's been through a couple of different owners and, all very good restaurants, but it is an iconic location and the interior is very interesting. So talk to us about that.
Once again, my bakers, and staff are not just talented at what they do for the restaurant. They're very talented artists. Almost all, if not the majority of the art that we have in the restaurant is all members of my staff.
Oh, you're kidding.
Bartenders.
So what's on the wall is truly done by your staff.
And it's all my staff. So whatever, if they sell it, whatever they get for it, they keep.
Wow, great.
And it gives them a chance to express themselves. At the same time, it makes my restaurant look beautiful.
Yeah. How Wilmington is that, though?
Very much so.
You've really hit into sort of a cultural thing that's really part of what is Wilmington. You mentioned earlier that one of the things you love about being downtown is the culture of being a restaurant owner downtown. Yeah. So how do you work with other restaurant owners? Is it competitive? What's it like?
You know, that's the one thing that I think makes Wilmington very unique over the places I've been to throughout the country is that every owner down here will go out of their way to help. You know, I mean, there's days on Sundays where we'll run out of eggs and we can run down to Real Cafe and see Ray down there and be like, hey, we need some eggs. Can you help us out? Or, we've run out of olives before and I'll run up to Misha at Slancha and say, hey, Misha, I really need some olives. Can you help me out? I'll get you back later. And it's the same thing. That's the one thing that we all know is, you know, they can come up. If they need something from us, we're there. You know, we have a lot of people coming up and grab linens from us and, you know, whatever we can do to help anybody else, the only way this town will grow and get to the point that it needs to be is if we all work together.
Right.
When we first started, specifically Josh and Ellie from Front Street Brewery went out of their way to help us in any way we could, any way they could, and just sort of guided us on what we should be looking for, what we should be doing. You know, hey, you might want to talk to these guys. You might want to talk to these guys. And the new people that are next to me, we've tried to do the exact same thing with them, trying to help them out.
Which is great when you think of a lot of places, a new restaurant's going to open right next door, literally right next door. You'd think that there would not necessarily be a lot of co-opetition.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the one thing that makes us unique is that we're starting to have very unique places.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, there are similarities, But each restaurant has its own little niche where a lot of cities, you have the same thing across from each other.
Right.
You know?
And they're all chains.
Yeah.
And we don't have that here. So if you anybody who's listening that hasn't yet been to Wilmington, that's one of the things you'll love about the charm of downtown is that you will find uniqueness. I think there are maybe two or three chains in all of downtown, and they're not restaurants. They're they serve food, but they're not traditional sit-down restaurants. So that's interesting. It's actually one of the things that we love about going to Nine is the environment that you've created, not just in terms of how great it is to sit in there, but the music's at the right level. It's a conversation-oriented restaurant.
Yeah, and if you notice, we don't have any TVs.
No TVs. I can't even watch a game in there.
No.
But I can watch a game across the street or two doors down. Or
which is sort of funny because I'm a diehard Red Sox fan. And the Nine partially came from Ted Williams.
Is that right?
So, yeah, that was very fun for me to be able to throw that on as our logo because it has very sentimental meaning to me. So
you have a lot of different Nine reasons, don't you?
Yeah.
So it's the street number. It's the house number, if you will. It's the mailing address. It's Ted Williams.
It's the time we open.
It's the time you open in the morning. It's the number of different donuts on any given day. It's where else does this come from? Do you have any other? Tarot said, right? Numerology. Yeah.
No, I spent a lot of time all over the U.S. and I got to see a lot of different places and got to see what worked and what didn't. And I remember when I first started talking to Michael Kaliva, the owner of the building, I said, Michael, I want to do a tapas and donut restaurant. And he looked at me like, okay, I'm going to go find somebody else to rent this building. And he had talked to one of his sons in New York. And his son was like, Dad, those are two of the hottest things going on in New York right now.
Absolutely.
And I remember the first night we opened, I just sat in there and looked around the restaurant and thought, this is really a lot better looking than I ever imagined. And, we talked about Jason Sargis, my bartender, mm-hmm. who was a big part of the design of the place, laying everything out, helping me find the chairs, we have that little nook area with the nice leather.
Absolutely. And
it's
one of the big
couches.
Draws. Yeah. I see people over there having meetings and all sorts of things.
Yeah. And then, now we're getting ready to start the Phoenix room upstairs. We have
talk about the Phoenix room a little bit.
We have a event room upstairs and, it'll hold up to 70 people.
Okay.
And we're doing a lot of private parties and, next year, I want to get into the Christmas party and the small Christmas parties. We're going to do a lot of wedding rehearsals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't want to, Pete, if we're going to put people up there, I wouldn't want sitting. I wouldn't want any more than 60, 65,
okay.
Just from a comfort standpoint. Another thing that we've been talking about is doing I have a large projection screen up there. And we're going to bring in a projector, and I want to do sort of a dinner and a movie thing.
Maybe Red Sox games, no?
That's after hours. I want to do something for local directors.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, talk to me about the film community and how they fit into your life.
It's, I'd say, 30% of my business.
Really?
I have, this year, been very blessed with the people that have come in. We've had almost the whole cast from Sleepy Hollow.
Great.
Half the cast from Under the Dome.
Super.
When Tammy was here, the producers and directors were all coming in, and then the crew. I mean, when they're not filming, those guys are out spending money.
Yeah,
they're coming to the restaurants. They're buying food. They're buying drinks, and that really is a draw. And then during the summer, when we have actors and actresses coming in, that's a draw to bring people into the restaurant.
Absolutely.
It creates a lot more money for us than I think people realize that it does.
For the entire community.
Yeah, especially.
But it's nice to have a place where the film industry feels like they have a home.
Yep.
And I think you've really started to create that. I mean, you even hire a lot of people from the film industry.
Yeah. I actually look for them. I like people that have that creativity and that frame of mind because they're always looking on how to improve the visual aspect of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a very fun, loving community to work in as well, which ties in very well with Wilmington.
It sure does. Yeah, it really does. Surfside Express. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, we signed a contract with Surfside one of my biggest problems with not doing marketing our first year was finding a way to get to the other side of town, the Porter's Neck, the Wrightsville Beach, landfall area.
Right.
And Surfside approached us and said, hey, we'll deliver for you to that side of town if you'd like. So if anybody wanted to get it. And it gave us an opportunity to get our food on the other side of town and spread out. So they'll come in, you order through Surfside, they'll pick it up and bring it to your house for you.
So is it essentially your entire menu?
Yes.
So anything that you're offering, so people can actually find out what the special of the day is and all.
Surfside has our menu that we do with them on their website.
I see.
And I mean, donuts, anything. as long as it's being served at that time, because of the different times, we do the lunch, breakfast, lunch, and then we take a break for about 2 hours, and then we open up for dinner again.
Or three. For those of us who are waiting in the front, just waiting for them to open up at 5 o'clock. There does tend to be a line almost at 5 o'clock.
The problem with the weekends is my staff is just so hammered from the brunches.
Brunches are very popular.
Yeah.
You have a really good Bloody Mary?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, man.
We've been using the bacon vodka in that.
You have another special drink that you make for your brunches, don't you?
We do.
You have a rum-based...
The Ramosas. Yeah, on Sundays we do the Ramosas. We add a little bit of rum, flavored rum, into the mimosa to make it have a little more of a unique flavor, a little fruitier flavor.
Just sort of a little splash?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You're not taking away from my champagne, though, right?
No. Wouldn't do that, would you? So a lot of really cool things. Obviously, you're just bubbling with ideas. What's new? What's going to happen? What are we going to see going forward? I mean, you're going to have a birthday in May, and we're going to see in year two.
I'd like to get the bread that our bakers are doing into as many restaurants down here as possible and share with the community and continue with that. Eventually, I want to look at options for doing gluten-free products.
Great.
I think that's
really important.
To have a donut, gluten-free donut option really, really would help the community,
oh,
I
man.
Think. we want to try to grow that aspect of the thing. I want to do as much in this town as we can. Mm-hmm. I'll never do another restaurant, I don't think.
So you're all in here. This is the one.
It's my life. Day and night. It's everything I'm involved in. Yeah. But I would like to do other, look down other venues in this town. I think this town could use a few more things to get revitalize the downtown a little bit more.
Once you're hooked downtown,
it's
hard to get unhooked.
It's one of the greatest places I've lived in the country.
And you've lived a lot of places.
I have. I've
a lot of islands, a lot of interesting background coming here and opening a restaurant. It's very cool. So if somebody's just, let me see, it's about what, nearly 4 o'clock here. We got to wait one more hour before we can come on down to 9. But when they come down to 9, how do they find you?
How do they find me? Yeah. I'm usually right inside the door at some
How do they find 9?
It's 9 South Front Street, directly across from Finkelstein's. And anyone who was here between the late 80s and late 90s would know where Cafe Phoenix was. It is a great old building.
It's a beautiful space. It's
beautiful
wonderful.
Glass windows to look out over the road and keep an eye on what's going on outside as well.
And those folks planning their trips here, they can find you where? You have a website?
We do. 9 Bakery and Lounge. And then on Facebook, we're 9 Bakery and Lounge on Facebook.
That would be a good consistent thing to do then, wouldn't it be?
it's tough because the actual restaurant is just 9.
Yeah.
That's the name is 9.
Okay.
But because of Facebook and the internet, you can't just put 9 up.
Well, and quite honestly, I have to tell you, when I tell my friends to meet me at 9, they don't know what I'm talking about. 9 p.m. or no, just 9.
Yeah.
So, it's great. So I want to thank you for your time today, Matt. It's really, really great to see you here in the studio and wish you the best of continued success.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And this is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing off. Until next week, have a great weekend.